Welcome to the Destiny Youth Podcast. Destiny Youth is the youth ministry of Destiny Church based in Glasgow. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, just wanted to give you a quick warning before we begin this episode. We are going to be discussing discipline and lust. So there will be a couple of things in the episode that might not be the best thing for little children. So if you have little children with you while you're listening, it would probably be best to pick a different episode. But if you're here to discuss discipline and lust, continue listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Destiny Youth Podcast. My name is Matt, and I'm here with Eves. Say hello, Eves.
Hello, guys. Hello, guys. Hello, guys.
All right. So, Eves, this is going to be a podcast of you just talking about a topic that you want to speak on, asking questions, discussing your thoughts about it. But before we start, Eves, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, guys. I guess, what can I say about myself? My name's Eves, first of all.
We've established that
already. I'm 18 years old. I go to uni. I'm an architect student. And I'm a child of God. Yeah.
Wonderful. And Eves, how long did you go to Destiny Youth? You've graduated from it now, but how many years did you go?
I think I started when I was 11, around 11, mm-hmm. up until, 17. So yeah. That's 6 years.
So basically all of teenagehood.
Yeah, all of teenagehood, yeah.
Excellent. All right, so Eves, what are we discussing today?
Well, today I wanted to talk about discipline and lust, mm-hmm. Because I think both of those things are both difficult and necessary to talk about. I think that especially lust is something that a lot of people escape talking about because maybe it's too much of a hard topic, too personal. And yeah, I think we just have to discuss that today.
Yeah, I mean, it is something that people tend to want to stay away from because I think a lot of people don't want to admit that they struggle with it because we've almost made it a like, oh, you're a dirty, perverted person if you're struggling with this. And we've put so much shame on it to where people just don't want to, number one, admit it or even bring it up because it is kind of an uncomfortable subject when in reality it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because we need to be able to know how to combat it and work through it. Mm-hmm. So go ahead with your thoughts, questions.
Okay.
And we'll go.
At first, I wanted to talk about discipline first and then moving on to lust. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with discipline. Discipline for me is something that is completely necessary mm-hmm. for us, not only for the Christian life, but just in life in general. I think that all of us should be disciplined in our minds and the way we do things. And yeah, I feel like discipline is something that we all just have to grow. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say with that.
Yeah.
So I actually did do some research about, what is discipline mm-hmm. and stuff. I got some definitions here. So let me just pull that up. So what I searched up was what is discipline? What came on Google, it was the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior. Using punishment to correct disobedience. It also goes on to say a branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. And then I went on to really look in myself. I was just like, what do I think discipline is? Mm-hmm. And I wrote down here, discipline is a choice you make every day to deny the flesh and to live in how God wants me to live. So my view of this of discipline, obviously being a Christian, is what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So I feel as though discipline for us as Christians is really putting ourselves aside and doing what the Lord wants us to do on a daily basis and really waking up every day, and even if like we're tired or whatnot, to do the things that we necessarily don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I feel as though discipline is that, doing what you don't want to do, because it pushes yourself to please God, because that's what you have to do. Understand, it's not pleasing yourself or pleasing Him. So yeah, I wanted to ask you that question too, like, what do you think discipline is?
Well, when you look at discipline in scripture, the Greek word that's used for it is paideia, which goes back to almost like children, school children. Mm-hmm. That's the feel behind it, is you are being trained, educated, what have you, some of the things that you've already mentioned. Mm-hmm. But with discipline, it is just that. Because if, think of it this way, if no one educated you on what food is good and nutritious,
yeah,
and what's not, what food would you choose to eat? You'd pick the bad stuff, right?
Yeah.
You'd pick what tastes good, what's like, what's easy.
Sweets.
Yeah, you'd just be slamming donuts all day.
Yeah.
Or I would just eat nothing but cheesecake. So without
I wouldn't advise that, yeah.
Without that education, you don't necessarily know what's good and what's bad. You're just going off of that instant gratification of the flesh of, oh, this tastes good.
Right.
And I'm getting like a sugar high off of this sweet thing that I'm eating.
Yeah.
No one loves salad. Well, I mean, if you say you love salad, I think you're lying in some ways. No, don't get me wrong. There are times where it's like, I just need something like fresh.
Yeah.
I need some sort of vegetable. Uh-huh. Those cases are rare, but I don't think anyone ever is just having cravings for salad.
Potato salad?
Yeah, but then that's potato salad.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's still salad.
No. I'm talking like kale salad. No.
Leaves.
Yeah, leaves. But that's what it is for me, is it is a consistent teaching of what is righteous, what is good, mm-hmm, what is better. And of course, the only thing that is good, that is righteous, that is holy, is God.
Yeah.
And so to be a disciple of Jesus is to be educated and grown into what pleases the Lord,
yeah,
what is righteous, what is holy, mm-hmm, what is merciful, what is just. And obviously, I was a personal trainer for a while. That's one form that I usually take it back to, is, yeah, you know, you can go into the gym with these incredible expectations of, mm-hmm, I'm going to bench press 200 kilos. And it's like, no, this is your first day. Chill out. Like, here, take these 10 kilo dumbbells and we'll start there.
Yeah.
But it is a continual process of, you can always improve. You can always get better. There's never a moment where you have arrived, mm-hmm, so to speak. And that's the beautiful thing about discipline, is even through all of the habitual things that you're going through, like reading your Bible, praying, worshiping, mm-hmm, God, learning these things, there's always new things to learn about God, because He is so incredible. Mm-hmm. You can become an expert on, I don't know, freshwater fish. Like, you can know everything there is to know about freshwater fish.
Yeah.
You will never know everything there is to know about God. Uh-huh. There's so angels, true, that have been circling His throne, uh-huh, for millennia, mm-hmm, and will continue to circle His throne. And each time they pass, they see something and discover something new about Him. Mm-hmm. So why not dedicate yourself to the discipline of learning about that guy? Mm-hmm. Because there's so much to Him. Mm-hmm. And I went on a bit of a tangent there, but for me, biblically, that's what I would define discipline as.
Do you think there's a difference in discipline, right? In the sense of, there's biblical discipline and then there's your quote unquote the world discipline.
Your what discipline?
World discipline.
World
type discipline.
So the world's idea of, yeah, discipline. Yeah. Because there's plenty of people out there who don't know God, yeah, who are still disciplined.
Yeah, exactly.
But that discipline, I'll put it this way. Why do you love God?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big question. I love God because he just shows me things that I would never seen. Do you understand? So in like the darkest times, he'll be revealing things to me that I would never think of myself. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So he's always there. He's always there for me. I love God because he loves me. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And he was always there for me. So when I remember him in the times of trouble, and especially in the times when I had my injury and stuff like that, mm-hmm, it will be times of like questioning him, just like, Lord, like, why is this happening or whatnot?
Yeah, and why have you allowed this?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly. But I've seen in those moments is where he shows up, and
yeah,
he reassures me, and like you remember in Prince of Egypt, right, the movie,
mm-hmm,
where Moses meets with God, right, and then you have this little scene where he's in his presence, and then like
his presence lifts him up,
yeah, lifts him up and stuff like that, right? So yeah, I feel like that's what happens each time,
mm-hmm,
when, like, well, not per se when I'm in like the pit or whatnot, but like when I'm in his presence, and like when you're in that, how can you not love him?
Yeah. So like, now the second part of my question,
uh-huh,
and this is not a trick question.
Okay.
Would you still love God if he never gave that to you again?
I'm trying to be careful what I say.
I know. It's a tough one to sit with.
Yeah.
You don't have to give me an answer. But when you think of it that way, of like, would you love God and would you still be a disciple, uh-huh, of Jesus if Jesus saved you?
Mm-hmm.
You have salvation. You're going to go be with him in eternity. 100%. But he didn't do anything else for you.
Mm-hmm.
No miracles, no prophetic words, no nothing.
No would presence.
Would you still love him?
No presence.
I
wouldn't feel his presence.
No. Which, so thank God he gives it to us. But let's just, in this scenario,
right,
he doesn't give you any gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And for everyone out there listening, this is not the way that God is, because he's a good father and 100%. Loves to give us good stuff. But I'm separating, like, we love God and he gives us good things, but what if salvation was the only thing you got,
mm-hmm,
and that's how you got to go be with him? Would that be enough for you? Just the guarantee of, I'm going to be with him in heaven.
I feel like right now, me sitting here, it's easy to say yes.
Yeah.
Right? Because obviously as Christians, we're always going to say, yeah, of course I'm going to love God.
Yeah.
Of course. But then when you lay out like that, it's really something to think about.
Yeah.
And you really have to go back with yourself and actually think. But when I actually think of it, with my own self, I feel as though salvation in itself should be enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because all of us here, if it wasn't for Christ, we're condemned.
Yeah.
We're condemned. We're going straight to hell.
It's over.
Going straight to hell. Like, there's no questions asked. Like, you're gone.
Yeah.
But because he came and he died for us on the cross, he gave us salvation. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
Like,
that's enough to say I love you.
It should be enough. It should be enough to say I love you, because he really took all of our sins and went and died.
Yeah.
And then took on the wrath of God for us. And then afterwards he's saying, yeah, you're going to meet with me in heaven.
Yeah,
but just for now though, just suffer though, and then you'll come and be with me in heaven.
Thank God that's not the case. But now take that aspect,
uh-huh,
of being disciplined, going after God, learning about him.
Yeah.
Now, in the world, their view of discipline, which, mm-hmm, is still correct in some ways,
mm-hmm,
why do you go to the gym,
mm,
to get stronger?
Yeah,
why do you go and, you know, grind at work to, mm-hmm, get money?
Money.
Why do you go and get a relationship with someone? to have company, to be with someone. Like everything is, when you go into discipline, it's always for something. And I think that's more along the lines of how the world views discipline, is if I'm disciplined enough, I will get A, B, C. Mm-hmm. Whereas being disciplined under Jesus is just, I've already got everything I need. Mm-hmm. I just love him so much that I can't help but want to follow him. Mm-hmm. I can't help but want to obey the words that he says. And then you get to a point where when he gives you a word and you don't obey it, it's painful. Yeah. David even describes it in the Bible as a living hell of getting a word from God and then not obeying it as a living hell. And so I think that's kind of the major difference, is one is like, I'm going to be disciplined for gratification.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I'm going to be disciplined strictly out of how much I love God. Mm-hmm. You still get things from God. He loves to give gifts. But and then I think you can take that same aspect of the world being disciplined in order to get something and to get gratification. And then you take it to an undisciplined person, but they're still looking for the same gratification. And so I think the difference is that whenever you are disciplined and willing to work for your gratification, it actually lasts a lot longer. Because if you go to the gym, you're consistent, you will get stronger, you will lose weight, you will gain muscle. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to look for that same result by taking a special diet pill and thinking, oh, this is going to work. No, you want the gratification without the discipline.
Yeah.
So now apply that to Christianity. You want the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You want all of these things. You want to know God more, but you're not willing to be disciplined.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Like, you are going to have to be hungry for God in order to go after those things.
Yeah.
Because he does give good gifts, but do you really want the gift?
Yeah.
Or are you just looking for gratification?
You see, when you say that, the verse, I don't know what verse it is exactly, but it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, right? And when you say that, I really felt that in my spirit, because like, that's what essentially discipline is. You understand? We have to be hungry for him first, and we have to draw near to him, go and read his word, be in his presence. You understand? Continually and consistently, do you understand? So that we can draw near to him. And of course, because he's a loving father, because he's seeing us, he's seeing that we earnestly want him. So he's gonna come to us. Do you understand? And I feel as though that's what a lot of people have to understand, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, and it's again just a testimony to how good he is.
Yeah.
Because regardless of all of our junk, regardless of how you know, nonchalantly we go about Christianity and religion, and it's like, oh yeah, I love God. It's like, really, when was the last time that you talked to him?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's like, well, that, oh, I love my wife. When was the last time that you talked to her? Oh, I don't know. It's like, well, do you actually love her?
Yeah, that's the sermon that you gave in one of the
Yeah. It's like it's the same thing. We get into this pattern of treating God as if he's not a person.
Yeah.
It's like he's some ethereal magic genie up in the sky that we just go to with our problems, when it's like, no, he wants that relationship with us. And then we treat his presence like an accessory rather than a necessity, where it's like, oh, I come to church to get my accessory of Jesus for today. And then the rest of the week, it's just, yeah, whatever. It's fine. Yeah. It's like wearing a special hat on Sundays. Like, this is my Sunday hat. But yeah.
To be fair, when I think of it, a lot of people don't truly understand God as being the Father, right? And when I look at discipline, right, for myself, I do think of it as we can't do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? We always have to go back to God for it. So for me, I try my best on a daily basis to consistently talk to God, whether that's like under my breath or like speaking in tongues or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just continually being in communion with the Lord.
Yeah.
And what I find with that is that when I do that consistently and I'm being genuine with the Lord, I'm being honest,
yeah,
like what's in my heart and what, like sometimes I'm not disciplined all the time,
mm-hmm,
right? And I say that to the Lord. I'm just like, Lord, like I want to be disciplined, but right now, today, well, like, I'm tired. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So
now, the amount of times that I have said to God, like, God, I need your help because I'm evil and stupid.
Yeah.
It's like genuinely,
uh-huh,
like I'm evil and stupid and I'm lazy and I need you to teach me,
mm-hmm,
how to be more like you,
yeah,
in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to what Jesus said. I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing.
Yeah.
There's so much power in that statement. And it's mind-boggling because it's like, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. Okay, then you are in consistent communication,
yeah,
with the Father, which is why he was always going off by himself, praying,
yeah,
going and taking naps. Because I genuinely believe that when Jesus knew, you know, all things, extremely wise, all these different things. But I believe that whenever he got up in the morning, it was, okay, Dad, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
What am I doing now? What do you want me to go and accomplish now?
Mm-hmm.
With a knowledge of what was, you know, to come. But it's almost as if he took everything just one day at a time, one mission at a time.
Yeah.
And then these moments where he rested were almost moments where it's like, okay, I accomplished the thing that you asked me to accomplish, so I'm not going to do anything else,
yeah,
because that's what you asked me to do.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at it like that, it's like we spend so much time trying to do things for God,
mm-hmm,
when it's like, I didn't ask you to do that.
None of it.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know. I just thought, you know, I'd go and do this. It's like, no, I already told you to go and do this. That's what I wanted you to do today. Uh-huh. Take a nap.
Yeah.
Rest with me. Talk to me.
Uh-huh.
Ask me how I'm feeling. How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And we miss out on all of these moments with God where it's just like, I haven't come to talk to you with an agenda.
Yeah.
I haven't come to talk to you with my problems. I just want to know more about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Just share something that has nothing to do with a mission, nothing to do with my problems,
mm-hmm,
just something about you.
Yeah.
We miss all those opportunities because we're so busy trying to, mm-hmm, accomplish something when it's like, no, learn to rest with me.
You see, when you're talking about us doing things for him when he hasn't asked us to do anything, mm-hmm, right? I feel like the verse, this is off topic, by the way. Yeah, I feel like the verse, like, when they come to me, a lot of people would say to me, Lord, Lord, you understand?
Yeah.
We've done this.
I did this, I did this.
I did this and I did that. You understand? But then the Lord will look at you and be like, depart from me. Mm. You understand? I never knew you. So it brings back to the question, like, what does it mean to know,
yeah,
someone? You understand? But when I think about that, I think about my friends, my family members, those that are close to me. You understand? And what I do with them is I spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to them. I'm genuine with them. You understand? I like take time to know who they are. Do you understand? Like, what makes them angry? What makes them sad? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the times we don't do that with God.
Mm-hmm.
We just see him as, oh, like, damn, that's God though. I can't be genuine with him. Like, a lot of people think that way, and I think it's sad because he wants us to talk to him. He wants,
yeah,
us to lay down our problems at his feet. And then it's not only that he will solve them, but you, both of you will solve it,
yeah,
like together.
He'll give you strategy.
Down, exactly. You'll, yeah, sit down with each other and he'll be like, you know what? Should have done that.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh, damn, that's true. You know, that's true. I feel like you say all the time, Pastor Matt, intimacy with the Lord is very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grew to realize that a lot, and I've grew to cherish it. And I feel like that's what discipline is about also. Mm-hmm. Right? It's also about, well, just being with the Lord. Just being with the Lord, getting to know him. And then through getting to know him, he will speak to us. And when he speaks to us, he will lead us into what we have to do.
Yeah.
He'll lead us into more to a disciplined person. You understand? We can't just do it all by ourselves.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, some of us, we think we're Superman. We're not Superman.
No.
We're not Superman.
I wish I was Superman.
Yeah, we wish. Great, we wish. There's a lot of wishing, but we have to be reasonable.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So, it's actually fascinating to think about.
Yeah. There's one thing that somebody said to me a while ago that I really loved and has stuck with me is when you come into intimacy with the Lord, he teaches you what he loves and he teaches you what he hates.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have, oh, God hates. Yes. Yeah. God hates lies. Yeah. He hates religion that's empty and doesn't lead you into a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Like look at the Pharisees. Uh-huh. Jesus called them out and said, you are not leading people to God. You're leading them to yourselves through religion. Mm. So whenever you are being taught from the Lord, he will teach you what he hates.
Yeah.
And it's a whole other aspect of him, because whenever you know what he hates, it makes the things that he loves shine so much brighter. Mm-hmm. And with honesty, coming before him, and sometimes we have to, I need to approach in this way, and I need to make sure that, you know, this and this, and you should be approaching the Lord with humility, reverence, honor. But if you go to God and you're like, okay, here I go, I'm putting on this performance of a good Christian, it's like, Lord Jesus, you know, I have kept your rules, and you know,
you're thy greatest father.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me. And Lord, I need this. And it's like, man, he sees every single thing that's in your heart.
Yeah.
He knows what you're struggling with. He knows if you're angry at him, even. Mm. So it's like, ah, oh, I'm so angry at God. Why would you do this? Why would you allow this? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much. And he's like, whoa. Like, what were you saying 30 seconds ago? You were angry with me, but now you're, oh, like, just be you. Be honest.
Yeah.
Obviously, be respectful.
Uh-huh.
But be like, God, I'm just going to be completely honest. I'm angry with you in this moment, and I need you to help me understand, because I love you, but why did you allow this to happen? Mm. And we try to keep it down and keep it suppressed, because, oh, that's not what a good Christian would do. Mm. It's like, no, just go be you.
Yeah, we're human, man.
With your Father.
Forget.
And it's fine. He loves you.
Exactly.
But yeah, learning what he loves, learning what he hates, and then just being you with the Lord is so important.
Very much. Do you think we'll finish with discipline? Should we move on to
life? You can move on to whatever you want to move on to. Okay. I'm here for the whole thing, man.
Okay. I feel like there's a lot of talk about discipline, and we're going to be here like for the whole time that we have if we just stick on discipline. But I think we've talked about discipline a lot. I think people get the memo. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get the memo, just replay what we just said.
Yeah, just listen again.
Just listen again. And yeah, I wanted also to talk about lust. It's something that for me personally, obviously, I've struggled with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that I'll continue to struggle with it a little bit, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it never goes away. Do you understand? Especially in this day and age. What I wanted to talk about first with lust was, what do you think, Pastor Matt, is detrimental things that it does to us?
Well, first, we'll just start off with this. Do you think that lust is a bad thing?
In hindsight, yes.
Why? What is lust?
What is lust? I actually put it down, you know. I actually got the definitions.
Read it out.
This is from Google, the Oxford Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
It says, English. Lust is a strong sexual desire, a passionate desire for something.
Yes. So, again, going back into the Greek,
yeah,
the word is epithumia.
Epithumia.
What epithumia translates to is a strong desire.
Right.
So, when you look at how Paul, Peter, all these guys are writing in the Septuagint about lust, mm-hmm. the times that it's mentioned, you have the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So these strong desires of the flesh. Obviously, that's bad because we don't want to partner with the flesh. Mm-hmm. But then Paul, in Scripture, uses that same word, epithumia, saying that you should lust after the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm.
So you should have a strong desire
okay.
for the gifts of the Spirit. So when we talk about lust, like the word lust in English has this like dirty feeling to it. But when we really unpack it, I think this is what's so important about talking about lust is you could lust after a cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
You could lust after a new car. You could lust after a woman, a man. Money, fame, mm-hmm. all of it, a strong desire for something. Now, when you go into anything where, like the verse where it says sexual sin, run from it.
Yeah.
Don't even try to combat it. Run from it. Mm-hmm. That's when we get into the sexual side of it.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about just lust in general, mm-hmm. lust is not necessarily a bad thing. It's what are you lusting after?
Mm-hmm.
Is if you have a strong desire to know God, well, that's not a bad thing. That's a great epithumia.
Mm-hmm.
The strong desire to know him, the strong desire to read the word. So we have to have a better understanding of what
is lust.
Lust is.
Yeah.
That way you are able to fight it. Because a lot of the times what happens is we'll go to a pastor, we'll go to someone and be like, can you pray and that I would have help with lust? And you're basically just saying, would you pray that I would have help with my strong desire. It's like, no, name what it is that you are struggling with. Again, we have this thing of not being fully honest with God and with each other of like, oh, I'm really struggling with lust. With what? What are you lusting after? Oh, it's just lust, God, and I need help. Like, no, say it. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out in the open.
Yeah.
And then going back to running from it, the sexual desire, I tell especially young men all this all the time.
Yeah.
The story of Joseph, when he is in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife comes in.
Yeah.
Joseph, lay with me, be with me. He says no. And then finally, one day, the whole house is empty. No other servants are there. No one.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in and she's like, hey, we're doing this. And then he leaves behind his coat after she grabs him and he runs out.
Yeah.
That's what the scripture is talking about. Run from it.
Yeah.
So what did Joseph do in the previous times? There were other people around and she was like, hey, Joseph, oh, you're a handsome man. Hey, we should, you want to go and do something? No. And then he would go back to his work. There were other people around.
Mm-hmm.
But this time in particular, when the house was empty,
Joseph
didn't just go back to his work in an empty house. He ran into public because that's just what you need to do. So whenever you have these moments of strong sexual desire, the best advice I have is run. Mm-hmm. Because the majority of the time, you'll feel the temptation, and those temptations are always like 300% stronger when you're alone.
100%.
So don't be alone
when
you have those temptations coming in.
Yeah.
Run, go out into public, have someone you can be accountable to that you can send a message to that you can call and be like, hey, I need to beat this. So I'm not allowing myself to be alone with this. Mm-hmm. I'm running from it. So that was another tangent. But what was the original question?
About? The original question was, what was the original question? I remember what it was. The original question was, what do you think like lust does to someone?
What it does to someone.
Yeah.
Well, normally what happens, there's lots of things that happen when God designs something beautiful.
Yeah.
Because again, the strong desire to be, for you to be with a woman mm-hmm. is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You should want to be with a woman, start a family, be married.
Yeah.
Like that's a desire that God has placed within you. Mm-hmm. So that's not the bad thing. The bad thing is when
it's perverted.
It's perverted, or like we were saying at the beginning, going for the instant gratification
yeah.
rather than the discipline. Mm-hmm. Discipline would say, I want to be married. Mm-hmm. I want to have a family. So I am going to work
yeah.
to get to that so that whenever I am there, I'm able to handle it.
Yeah.
The instant gratification is, I want to have this relationship now, so I'm going to go and do whatever I want to do. And then, like it normally does, it ends in disaster because you weren't ready.
Yeah.
You weren't prepared for what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. With lust in particular, because the sexual act of being together is not just physical.
Yeah.
As much as people want to pretend that it is. It's a spiritual
yeah.
intertwining of the two parties. Mm-hmm. And I like to describe it this way. If you take two pieces of duct tape
yeah.
and you take one piece and you lay it in some gravel and that gravel and that dirt sticks to that duct tape.
Yeah.
The other duct tape might not have any gravel on it.
Yeah.
No dirt, no nothing. But when that other duct tape comes and sticks to the other piece of tape, mm-hmm. when they come together, they have now shared all of the junk. And when you rip the two apart, they now both have junk.
Yeah.
So spiritually, whenever you come together with somebody in that sense, you are now taking on some of their spiritual junk. Mm. And then whenever you tear away from it, it's painful. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. And you have stuff left over that you now have to deal with.
That's good, bro.
So that is the danger of giving into that lust
yeah.
in the beginning for that instant gratification. And then, of course, going back to the whole donuts thing. If you are never told, hey, don't eat those donuts for every single meal, that's not good.
Yeah.
You're going to still eat them, but then you're going to feel the effects of having that poor diet.
Yeah.
You're going to get sick. You're not going to feel well. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be healthy. These are things that have already been established. Like if you just go into all these sexual relationships, mm-hmm. you are not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Spiritually, mentally, physically, it's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. And you can lie to yourself all day long, I'm happy. And I wasn't planning on going this deep into it, but when you look at things like OnlyFans,
yeah,
are there others other than I don't know what all the things are.
Well, Korn?
No, the apps where you can like meet up. You can meet up for sexual stuff with people.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called, but it's like
Tinder and whatnot.
Maybe that's what, I don't know.
Right.
But you, when you look at these people who have engaged with things like this, you know, yeah. they may, like the OnlyFans people, it's like they may seem like, oh yeah, I'm happy. It's like, no, you are a broken person.
Very much.
Because we're all broken people.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, it's not even that particular thing is going to break people, but now you have brought other people into that brokenness
yeah.
and they've shared it with you.
Yeah.
And that's what's so detrimental, is now you're going to be carrying all of those things that you have now shared. And there was one girl, I don't remember what her name is, but she used to do OnlyFans and all these different things. And then she got saved.
Yeah.
Quit doing OnlyFans.
I think I saw that.
Yeah. And it's like you can just look at a person like a before and after, and just see in their face the difference of what that lifestyle, you know, does to a person. And it's very, very dangerous, because you're now bringing somebody else into something that you should not be playing around with.
Yeah. I feel like with lust as well, I look at it, as it being disgusting, obviously. But also, when I sit with the Lord and I'm just like, Lord, like, I need help with this.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? He always brings me back to 1 Corinthians 6, and starting by verse 12. It's talking about the body being the Lord's,
mm-hmm.
right? And it really makes sense to me. Should I read it out for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm reading of the word, 1 Corinthians 6, starting by verse 12. It says, everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything and brought under its power, allowing it to control me. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is the body, is for the body, to save, sanctify, and raise it again because of the sacrifice of the cross. And God has not only raised the Lord to life, but will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Am I therefore to take the members of Christ and make them part of a prostitute? Certainly not. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run away from sexual immorality in any form, whether thought or behavior, whether visual or written. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then, honor and glorify God with your body. Amen.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. When I read that, it just all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially the bit where it says that we're members of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so should I join with a prostitute being a member of Christ? Certainly not.
Yeah.
It says, and it goes on to say, two shall become one flesh, just like you said previously, that it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? It's more than a physical act. You understand? In that time, obviously, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, fantastic. Yeah, we can do it and whatever. But then at the end,
mm-hmm.
you have to always look in the future. You understand? It's detrimental to us.
Yeah.
It will break us. Do you understand?
There's the instant gratification that leads to destruction.
Exactly. Which, it's actually mad when I think about it, because we rather the instant gratification now instead of getting to know him and like mm-hmm. pleasing him. Do you understand? Because what he wants us to do is not go for that just instant gratification, but for us to be disciplined in knowing what he says about the situation.
Yeah.
So that we don't do it, so that we don't go into the instant gratification and we're just like, wait, this is not what the Lord wants me to do. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is not how the Lord made it to be. Because like sex, But we're all adults here, mate. Do you understand? And yeah. If you're not, well, you know what it is anyway.
We'll put a warning at the beginning of the podcast. Yeah.
But yeah, but sex in itself was made for marriage.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And a lot of people, they just skip through that. Where they're just like, oh no, but like, I like her, innit?
Yeah.
She's nice looking. So why not? You get instant gratification. It leads to death.
Yeah.
Do you understand? When I think about this also, I think about Proverbs 5. Let me bring that up actually. Proverbs 5. Let me find the first. What I want. Yeah, just starting from the first verse. It says, my son, be attentive to my wisdom, godly wisdom learned by costly experience. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may exercise discrimination and discretion, good judgment, and your lips may reserve knowledge and answer wisely to temptation. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey like a honeycomb, and her speech is smoother than oil. Do you understand? Let me stop there. Do you get? When I read that bit, verse 3, where it says, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey like honeycomb, and her speech is smoother than oil. Like, that in itself, it just screams out flattery.
Mm-hmm.
It screams out, like, the immoral woman, right, that wants you to fall into that sin, wants you to, like, go into sexual immorality and whatnot, right? She knows how to use her words.
Mm-hmm.
You get? She knows how to like get into your mind and whatnot and play with your mind and stuff like that, so that you think, especially like, oh damn, like actually she making sense.
Yeah.
You get? Like actually, yeah, let's do it. You get? And then you fall. Then after when you fall, you're just like, damn, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. I mean, that's been happening since the beginning
of time.
Exactly. And it's not just women. Like, everyone has their own thing. And just to go into this for a second, like I was saying earlier, you having a drive to pursue a woman,
yeah,
to date her, marry her, have children with her, is a good thing. Me having the desire to protect,
yeah,
is a good thing. Me having the desire to dominate can be a good thing. It's like, I want competition. I want, you know, to whatever it is that I'm doing, I want to be better. I want to compete with those around me, but it can go into a state of unhealth.
Yeah.
Same thing with protecting. Like, I'm going to protect my wife and kids, and that's a desire of mine. But if I lean too much into it, mm-hmm, then I will be overly protective. I will be afraid to take them anywhere.
Yeah.
I won't, you know, it just won't be fun. Anything that, even if it starts off as a good practice or a good desire, if there's any twisting to it,
yeah,
and it's not in line with God and his character, then it'll be used for something bad.
Yeah.
So even like a woman should be, dare I say the word, seductive, like toward her husband. Like,
yeah,
that's the way that God intended it, uh-huh, to be. But when that is twisted,
yeah,
and it's used to manipulate,
uh-huh,
or it's used on someone who is not her husband, because, yeah, look at the majority of what this is saying. In the majority of time, this woman that it is describing, mm-hmm, is manipulating through these words.
Yeah.
And men can do the exact same thing,
exactly,
in different ways.
Yeah.
I could manipulate through aggression.
Yeah.
I could manipulate through domination.
Yeah.
Like, I'm bigger than you, so do as I say. You know, anything can be used.
Uh-huh.
And that's why the Lord hates manipulation. That's actually what the Bible describes as witchcraft, is manipulating.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you do to manipulate somebody, including sexual desire,
yeah,
is something that the Lord hates.
Yeah.
And again, this is not just a, how dare these women? Like, men are just as guilty.
Just as bad. Yeah. I was just talking about in the verse where it says, guys.
Yes, I understand. just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, 100%.
It is our problem as well as men. Uh-huh. And we are stupid and can't control ourselves. That's why we need the Lord.
All of us, we need the Lord. But yeah, I feel like lust, it kind of intertwines, if that's the word, with discipline, right? Because like we said before, and like you said now, it's the desire to want something to get. And with discipline, you could say that it's kind of the same, right? Because discipline, you're training to get to a certain goal,
yeah,
right? So the desire is there to like get to that goal. So you desire that goal, and that's why you're continuously training. So you could say it's the same. Could you say it's the same?
Yeah, I would look at it as like the desire to be with a woman,
yeah,
and for sex,
right,
is the job of a husband.
Okay.
So going to the gym thing, going into the gym and expecting to just bench press 200 kilos, that is the job of a weightlifter.
Yeah.
You have not done the work to become the weightlifter.
Okay.
So when you get underneath that weight, expecting to lift it and be okay, it's going to crush you.
Yeah.
So if you are entering into what the job of a husband is,
yeah,
without having the qualifications,
okay,
to be a husband, it will end in disaster.
Right.
So yes, I would say that what you said is true. You haven't been disciplined into leading that woman spiritually.
Yeah.
Providing for her, being able to be a good father, you know, fill in the blank. You have not disciplined yourself to get to that point. So you're wanting to have this moment of fun, and you're wanting to not be responsible for the consequences of that.
Yeah.
And it ends up in a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah. I feel like also, as I said, with discipline, being honest with the Lord and just sitting with him, getting to know him, is the same for lust, right? It's the same for lust, where we have to go to him, especially in those times where it's there, it's present, and we're literally fighting against it. We have to go and meet with the Lord. For me personally, I do that.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, Lord, this is what's happening. Like, it's what, 3 a.m.? I'm trying to go to sleep, but all these thoughts are going through my mind.
Yeah.
Lord, help me. Do you understand? And I take like what, maybe however long it takes for all these thoughts to stop running through my mind. But when like I'm just praying, I'm asking for the Lord to help me, I'm like also worshiping at the same time.
Yeah.
Just trying to just go into his presence and just move away from what the temptation like he's trying to pull me into. Do you understand? And I feel like that's what we also have to think about. We also just have to lay everything down at his feet. Right? When we do that, obviously being vulnerable with him is what he wants. And from being vulnerable with him, it helps us. Do you understand? It's not that all we have to, because we're a Christian, I can never lust.
Oh, like, you're going to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like this magical, I'm a Christian now, yeah, I have like, no more temptations.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think a lot of people think like, oh, I'm a Christian, like, you lust? Ain't no way, bro.
Yeah.
Like you lust? Like, you look at people like that? Come on now. You get it? Like, is that what God really wants you to do? It's like, of course it's not. Yeah. What the Lord wants me to do, but I'm still human. I'm still getting like tempted by the evil one as well. And I'll even say, I dare say that we as Christians get attacked even more. Do you understand? Because we want to get closer with the Lord, because we know what he wants. and we want to follow what he wants, that the evil one is just like, nah.
Yeah. And then you now have the knowledge of this is how the Lord feels about it.
Yeah.
So now with that knowledge, when that temptation comes, it's heavier.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing that I like to tell young men and young women who have struggled with lust or are struggling with lust. Number one, if you are being tempted, do not feel bad.
Yeah.
Because that you are going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Jesus responded with the word of God.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to do, is you need to respond with the word of God. You need to go into that secret place with Father God. But this is a thing that has really helped a lot of people. When you're intimate with God, you learn his heart, you learn his mind, you learn his will.
Yeah.
You learn his character. So if you're feeling a temptation or a feeling of lust for a young woman, that's when you take it to the Lord and you say, God, I need you to teach me how you view that young woman.
Yeah.
You view her as a daughter. Help me to view her as your daughter and not as an object. And with women, help me to view this young man as your son and not as an object, not as something that is going to give me gratification or even future gratification.
Yeah.
When young people are looking for their spouse, instead of praying, like, God, send them now, send them quickly, say, God, I know that you have the perfect person for me. Yeah. Not that the person is perfect, because they're not going to be perfect, but they will be perfect for you and what God wants to do through you as a couple.
Yeah.
And so when you pray, always pray, Lord, help me to view the opposite sex as your son, as your daughter,
mm-hmm.
and the person that you have for me. Help me to view them in that same way. Because if you go into a relationship, even if you're going to get married to someone and it's like, ah, you're an object of gratification, you're an object of pleasure, whatever it is, or, oh, this person is going to complete me. No, they are not. They are there to partner with you, but they are not there to complete you.
Yeah,
God is going to complete you.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that you can do is enter into a relationship reliant upon the other person to complete you, because they won't.
They won't.
And then just a few years down the line, all sorts of problems.
All sorts.
Yeah. But that's something that I've always told people, is just ask the Lord, teach me to view these others as your sons and as your daughters. And you would not believe how much it helps you. And listen, when you become a parent or an uncle, or you know a small child in your family, it kind of refocuses your mind when you consider, like, that's someone's daughter.
Yeah.
That's someone's son. Mm-hmm. That's someone's little girl, someone's little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the mind of Christ right now. These are not the eyes of Christ viewing this person in this way. And then just ask him for help. Be real.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying, be 100% real with the Lord.
Literally.
It's like, I'm looking at these people in this way, God, and I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to view them the way you view them. And it's a powerful prayer to just ask him to teach you, because he will.
Yeah.
He will discipline you in the best way.
Amen. I don't know if I have any more questions.
It's okay. I think this was a pretty good conversation.
Yeah.
How about we do this? Why don't you close us out by praying for everyone who is listening, praying for them to draw closer to God, to understand what it looks like to be disciplined under his word and under what he says. And then lastly, the prayer for young men, young women who are dealing with lust, that they would be quickened by the Holy Spirit to run from it.
Yeah.
But then also, that they would have the eyes, the heart, and the mind of God when viewing people.
All right. Let's pray, guys. Mighty Father, we thank you and we glorify you. We respect you, Mighty Father, and we view you as Lord above all. And Lord God, we just want to thank you for this podcast. We thank you for the conversation that we had. And I just want to leave everyone, mighty Father, in your hands. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you help us, almighty Father, to stay disciplined. Help us, almighty Father, Lord God, to listen to your spirit, almighty Father, and that guides us into being the disciplined person that you created us to be. Help us, almighty Father, Lord God, to really just submit to your will, and not for us, Lord God, to do as we want to do, but do as you want to do, Lord God. I pray, almighty Father, Lord God, for those people, mighty Father, especially myself, Lord God, that is struggling with lust, that we, almighty Father, will be quickened by the Holy Spirit to run away, Lord God, from lust, and to also be real with you, to come to your mighty Father as a father, and to really just lay everything at your feet. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will help us, almighty Father, to view other people, Lord God, the opposite sex, Lord God, as your daughters and sons in Christ, and that we, almighty Father, Lord God, will just love them as your daughters and your sons, because you made everyone, almighty Father, to be respected and to be loved. We have to love each other, almighty Father, and help each other grow, and we just pray, Lord God, that you help us with that. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for every single person listening to this podcast that does not know you, that they will come to know you, almighty Father, in the name of Jesus. We glorify your name and we honor you forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Alrighty. Thank you, Eves. This was great.
Yes, sir.
And we will see you all next time.
Of course. See you guys.